to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Thursday, March the 21st. I am your host, Mike, and I'm back. My voice is pretty much at 100%, maybe not quite, but close enough and a whole hell of a lot better than it was earlier in the week and all of last week. I'm pretty much over the flu, and once again, just want to thank everyone for the well wishes they have sat here the past week or so, as I was just so under the weather and so sick. And just once again, thank you to everyone who sent along their kind words. This is also a big day. This is the first day of March Madness. I know we're here for Miami Dolphins talk, but you know, when it comes to sports, and we're all fans of sports, if you're listening to a podcast like this, March Madness, the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament, which starts this afternoon, all depending on when you're listening to this, Thursday, March 21st, are the best 4 days of the tournament. These first 4 days make the NCAA tournament. So hope everyone filled out their brackets, and best of luck to you. Hope you win your little office pools and stuff like that, because it is a lot of fun. And the first 4 days of the tournament are the best. And if you can, you know, skip work or, you know, fake being sick to sneak out early to watch the games, by all means, just do it. Really, just do it if you can, because it's great. March Madness is great. Now, let's get right into some Miami Dolphins talk, because there's a couple big stories happening right now with the Dolphins that we have to talk about. First and foremost, Robert Quinn. It looks like, for a fact, the Miami Dolphins have at least two teams on the hook ready to trade for Robert Quinn, possibly more. Obviously, Quinn met with the Cowboys earlier this week, and I'm not sure if he met with the Saints on Wednesday or if he's going to meet with them later this week, but he's going to meet with the Saints as well. Those are the two teams showing the most interest in Robert Quinn, and it makes sense. Quinn doesn't fit in Miami right now, and what the Miami Dolphins are doing, they need to move on from him. They need to get rid of his contract first and foremost. And much like with the trade for Ryan Tannehill, from all the reports from NFL.com and all the reporters in South Florida, the Miami Dolphins are willing to eat some of this money in order to get a better draft pick. Now, what that draft pick is, we don't know. But I would guess, and, you know, speculation is, and it's a safe bet, it'll be no lower than a pick in round 4, and it could even get up to a pick in round 3 in next year's draft, the 2020 draft. Odds are it won't be in this draft, 2019, because that's the trade-off for Miami eating some of this money. We'll take the salary cap hit this year. We get a pick from you next year. One of those deals, just like the trade with Ryan Tannehill. With Quinn, though, unlike with Tannehill, who really didn't have much trade value because he's a marginal player, just not very good. Quinn is still young, 28 years old, and in the right system on the right team can be a productive player. And you got teams like the Saints and Cowboys who have eyes on making big runs in the playoffs and potentially holding up the Lombardi Trophy next year. Someone like Quinn being added to their roster, another pass rusher, another veteran pass rusher who can get to the quarterback and has proven in his time in the NFL he can get to the quarterback, is, you know, just something that you want to add to your team. So what Miami does here, who knows? You know, there might be some other teams involved too that we haven't heard, but right now it's the Saints and Cowboys. And, you know, if the Miami Dolphins can somehow eat some of this money and get a pick in round 3, I mean, really, Chris Greer, you know, I'll be the first one out there. Build a statue to him outside of Hard Rock Stadium, because that would be tremendous. Even a pick around 4, hey, I'll take it. Picks around 4 and nothing to sneeze at. and the Miami Dolphins that will be stockpiling picks in 2020. As of right now, we know they got a pick in round one. They got a pick in round two. With the compensatory pick from his name slipping my mind, Juwan James, they'll have two picks in round three. And with the Tannehill trade, they'll have two picks in round four. Anything after that, I'm not going to get too crazy about. If they could get another pick in round three or four in 2020 draft here for Quinn, that's just more and it'll be great. And who knows, maybe in round one this year, they're able to slide down in round one and pick up extra picks in the 2020 draft for next year. The Miami Dolphins, and again, I'm not worried about rounds 5, 6, and 7, could be absolutely loaded with picks in the 2020 draft, which is, you know, what you want. You want ammunition. You want to be in a situation where you run the draft. And you, if there's someone you want, you have picks in your pocket to trade up. And if there's a... And you can just go get anyone you want in the draft. The Miami Dolphins haven't been in a situation like that in God knows how many years. It's been so many years. Most of you listening to this podcast probably weren't even alive last time that happened. So, kudos again to Chris Greer. I will say this, though. Stockpiling all these picks is great. It really is. It's the right thing to do. It shows that the Miami Dolphins have a plan. You can't knock it. It's almost a stroke of genius. But what I will say is here's the little bit of caution. Having the picks is great, but you got to pick the right players. You can have all the picks in the world, but if you pick the wrong guys, it don't mean squat. So stockpiling the picks is great, but we need Chris Greer and crew, you know, in 2020 to make the right picks. So, you know, yes, be excited. I'm not telling you not to be excited, but this is only, you know, the first part of the plan. The second part is actually picking the right guys. So that's that. The other thing here, like I said with the Tannehill trade, what they're doing in Miami is essentially buying draft picks. Now, we saw the Cleveland Browns last year. They did this with Houston when they took on the terrible contract of Osweiler, or maybe that was 2 years ago, my bad. 2 years ago, they took on a terrible contract of Osweiler, and they told Houston, we'll take him off your hands, and we'll take the hit on the cap, but you got to give us something too. And they essentially bought a pick, and that's what the Miami Dolphins are doing this year, and they did it with Tannehill. They're about to do it with Quinn. Is there anybody else on this roster they could potentially do it with? And the only name out there that would probably harness a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick if Miami just, you know, ate the cap it would be Rashad Jones. And again, don't know anything about it. I'm just saying, would I be stunned? No, I wouldn't be stunned because we're seeing what the Miami Dolphins are doing, unloading the bad contracts, clearing up the salary cap for 2020, where they're going to have, you know, somewhere around $110, $115, $120 million to spend to go buy anybody they want next year in free agency. So if they wanted to move on from Jones, and I know some fans are like, why would they want to move on from Jones? Jones on the wrong side of 30, and he quit on the team last year in the game. That got overlooked so much because of everything in Miami with Tannehill, and then he had the head coach, Adam Gase, who was a train wreck. They just sort of suck up all the air in the room. Rashad Jones quit in that game against the Jets on his team. Took himself off the field, refused to go in. On most teams, that would be a death nail. In Miami, that was overlooked. So if Miami is looking to move Jones, is looking to move him, again, I don't know if they are, but if they want to eat a bunch of money, trade him to get a pick, I wouldn't be shocked because what he did last year is almost unforgivable. When you quit on your team in a game. So again, if they want to continue to do this, there's not many more guys left they can have this with, but Jones would be the one. So there's something to keep an eye on here as we inch closer towards the draft here and into this offseason. Next thing I want to talk about is Dwayne Haskins, who, you know, seems to be right now the flavor of the week when it comes to the NFL draft. Because he had his pro day, which he put on a show, not surprising. And, you know, I really haven't talked about Haskins much on this podcast the past, you know, few weeks or month or so, mainly because I have thought from, you know, the start, Miami would have no chance to land him. I've had him as the number one quarterback in this draft from the beginning, and it's like, Miami's not going to get him, so why would I even waste my time talking about him? We've talked about Murray, as he's been linked to Miami, and all the quote-unquote experts and stuff saying, well, you know, he could slide and go, you know, between picks, you know, 8 and 16, 17. And then, of course, everything changed when Arizona stuff started to leak that they're taking number one. We've talked about Locke a lot because, A, I think he's vastly underrated and he has an NFL arm. We've talked about all the other guys, but we really haven't talked about Haskins. And like I said, I haven't talked about him because I never thought he was a realistic option for Miami. This week, there's reports that the Giants, you know, maybe not, they might not be in love with him. So if he gets past 6, there's a chance he could fall to 13, which again, I don't buy because you got teams between 6 and 13 who are still in the market for a quarterback. You got teams like the Broncos. You got teams, you have a team like the Raiders at pick number 4 who might be in the market for a quarterback. Then you got a team at pick number 6 like the Giants. You got Jacksonville, even though they signed Foles, they might want a young guy who's just behind Foles so they can move on from Foles maybe in a year or so, ready to take over. You have teams like Cincinnati, who I'm about to talk about in a second. There's a lot of teams before pick 13 who would be interested in Haskins, and I just don't see Haskins falling to pick number 13. And look, if he did, it's a no-brainer. Miami has to take him. I don't care who's in the 2020 class for quarterbacks. If Haskins somehow, some way, falls to pick number 13, if you're the Miami Dolphins, you take him, and you got a guy who you can start to build around now as your franchise quarterback, who you did not have to trade up for, which means in the 2020 draft, all these picks you're stockpiling, you don't have to worry about having to trade a bunch of them to move up, possibly, to get your guy. You can hold on to him, sit where you are in each round, and just pick the best player available. Pick the best player available. It allows you to hold on to all your picks in this year's draft, not have to, you know, trade up or anything like that, and just pick the best player available in each round. If Haskins falls in your lap at pick 13, you take him. Period. It's not up for debate. The guy's got an A-plus arm. He's got a great arm. He put on a show today at his pro day, or I should say yesterday, at his pro day, and, you know, he doesn't have a lot of starts, but he's one of those guys who's a pocket passer, and that's what wins in this league in the NFL. The guys who can just sit in the pocket and sling it. He can make every throw. And, you know, it just, falling in love with guys in next year's draft, you got to be careful for. Because you got to be careful. Because between now and then, a lot can change. A guy could get hurt, have a real bad, this is football we're talking about. Guys get hurt all the time. Guy could get hurt next year in college and not be the same. We've seen guys who have been, you know, touted as the next big thing. They have one bad year, they fall off the face of the earth. The 2020 draft, yes, it's loaded with quarterbacks. We all know the names. I'm not going to just run them down again. We know who they are. But who knows what's going to be in that 2020 draft. If you're the Miami Dolphins and you have an opportunity to get someone like Haskins, who I think is the best quarterback in this draft, I got him rated higher than Murray, higher than everyone, because of the size, the arm. The kid's the real deal. You know, he's 6'3", 230 pounds with a big arm, and he's smart. So if you have a chance to get him, do it. And I wouldn't even be against if, you know, Haskins does fall a little. Say he does fall past the Giants at 6, and say he's there on the board at 8 or 9. If you're the Miami Dolphins, you want to jump from 13 to 8 or 9, it don't cost much. And if they wanted to sort of make that small jump to get him, once again, sign me up. I'm all for it because I think this kid's the real deal. And, you know, I'd have no problem with the Miami Dolphins having Dwayne Haskins as their franchise quarterback moving forward. Is he as good as the Alabama kid in next year's draft? Who knows? Probably not. He's probably better, Tua. But there's no guarantee in 2020 you will get Tua. Number one, he can head back to college for his senior year. Number two, who knows how many games the Miami Dolphins will win next year, and if they'll even be in a position to take him. And if they do win a few games, say they win four games, and say they're picking number three or number two, you know, the team picking one probably ain't going to pass on Tua, okay? They're probably not going to pass on him. So you can offer them your entire draft. They're not going to part with the pick. So to wait around for one guy is just beyond stupid. You can't guarantee it. You got the kid from Oregon, Herbert, same thing. If you think Herbert and the kid from Alabama there, Tua, are about the same, and if you like them both equally, then yeah, you can finish with either first or the second pick, and you'll get one of them. You just won't have your choice, possibly. But again, I think Haskins is a real deal, and it was reported that he's going to work out privately for Miami in the next few days, possibly as early as today. They were one of the teams that was going to work him out privately, as well as the Raiders and a few others. And Chris Greer was at the Ohio State Pro Day. So, you know, he's there firsthand looking himself. He didn't send anybody else. He was there looking at himself. And, you know, that matters. But I like Haskins. Like I said, I know everybody does not like him. He's a redshirt junior. He's only has so many starts under his belt. And it's just one of those things. So, but as we get closer to this draft, we'll be talking about him more. Because, you know, I guess it's a possibility. Look, if I'm the Giants, why they would pass on him at 6 if he's there is beyond me. If he even makes it to 6, I don't think he will. Because you got a team like the Raiders who, yes, they're going to stick with Carr. But I don't know if they love Carr. If they don't love Carr, if you're picking number 4 and you have your choice of either A, any quarterback in this draft, or B, any quarterback not named Murray, then, you know, you might really have to consider taking Haskins because you still got 2 more picks in round 1. You still have 2 more. They got 3 picks in round 1. So we'll see. But I love Haskins, and if he ends up in Miami, not going to complain because I'd rather have him now and start the rebuild now with him than, you know, roll the dice and see where we pick next year. Yes, our roster stinks in Miami. And anyone thinks that Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to win a bunch of games and the Miami Dolphins next year are going to be picking, you know, 16th or 15th or 14th, I think you're lying to yourself. I think next year you got the Miami Dolphins will be picking in top 5. But picking in top 5, if you're picking 5th or 4th, doesn't mean you're going to land one of the 2 quarterbacks that you love, which will probably be on paper as of now, the kid from Alabama and the kid from Oregon. Doesn't guarantee it. So if you get a chance to take Haskins this year with either A, he falls in your lap, or B, you only have to part with a pick in round 3 or 4 to move up a few spots, do it. You do it. So that's that. Last thing I want to talk about is Xavien Howard, because we saw a report a few weeks back that the Miami Dolphins told Howard, you know, he's in their future. They want to resign him. They just have to handle some other things first. This might take a while. And that's all well and good. I have no problem with the Miami Dolphins paying Xavien Howard, you know, and if they make him the highest paid cornerback in the league, I'd have no problems with it. I think he's that good, and I think he's worth it. But the other thing is here, if the Miami Dolphins do fall in love with Haskins and say, this is one of those things that's just pure speculation, they fall in love with Haskins and they feel like they have to jump the Giants to get him, which means you got to get to pick 5 or 4, possibly even pick number 2. They're not going to trade with the Jets at 3. You can throw that one out the window. But say they got to get to pick either 2, 4, or 5 to get him. You know, Howard then becomes a chip. He becomes a chip because what Miami would have to part with draft pick-wise to move up that high, they probably don't want to. Because to jump from 13 to 4, 13 to 5, means you're giving up a first-round pick next year as well as probably a second-round pick this year. And it's a bunch of picks, and you're only going to hurt yourself by not having enough picks. But you can, if you can part with a blue-chip stud player to get you that high, which is what Howard is, then that changes everything. Because as much as we all love Xavien Howard, and as much as it's great to have a lockdown number 1 cornerback, it's more important to have a stud quarterback. And if Miami thinks Haskins is a stud quarterback, that trumps Xavier Howard. So moving from 13-4, 13-5, if it costs you, you're picking round one with Howard, and you get to hold on to all of your other picks, you know, you got to do it. You got to do it. But again, that really is dependent on how Chris Greer and the Miami Dolphins front office view someone like Haskins, or even someone like Murray, say for some unknown reason, Arizona does not take him first overall. Say this is just a big smokescreen by them. Then, to move up and take one of those guys, you know, parting with Howard would not be crazy, and it would let Miami hold on to their picks in this year's draft and next year's draft, because you're getting rid of one of the elite, and I don't say that word lightly, one of the elite cornerbacks in the league today. So just something to keep an eye on here with Howard. The extension, until it's done, it's not, which means he's easier to trade, obviously, without it. And I would think that extension will not get done until after the draft, probably closer to camp if it happens. But up until the draft, he's a chip that can be moved at any time for the Dolphins. And I know his agent, his suspension there is about to expire soon, I think. I forget the exact day, but I know it's coming up in the next few weeks. So I would expect the contract talks, you know, to start getting more serious once his agent's suspension is over. Obviously, his agent has a team of people that can talk on his behalf while the agent is technically suspended. I get that. But, you know, this is a deal that the agent is going to want to work on himself, because we know this is the same agent that Jarvis Landry had last year, and there was bad blood between him and the Dolphins. So I'm sure he's going to want to handle this one himself and not pass it off on one of his lower-level employees, which I get. But, again, the Howard extension probably won't come until after the draft, which will make him a chip Miami can use round one if they want to move up and get anybody, but especially one of these quarterbacks they fall in love with. So that's all I have for today's show. I do want to say our website has sort of joined in a partnership, which I'm going to talk about more next week formally, with the Miami Sports Wave website. They cover all the teams in South Florida sports, from the Hurricanes to the Panthers to the Heat to the Marlins and everything in between. So check out MiamiSportsWave.com. I'm going to talk about that more next week. I just want to give them a shout out and a plug. We got the link up on our website. As always, visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, but also check out MiamiSportsWave.com as well. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. If you're on Instagram, you can follow us there at DolphinsTalk. And always be sure, just keep checking our website. We got a ton of new content heading up there every day. We've added a bunch of new writers, some top-notch guys, just a bunch of them who are going to be putting out a lot of content each and every day on the website that you will not want to miss. High-quality stuff there. So, everyone, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Enjoy March Madness. Hope all your picks are right. And we'll be back with a new show on Friday. Everyone have a great Thursday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.